Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Women's basketball has experienced enormous changes over the past several decades. All you have to do to understand that is watch some teenagers play, and then, if you can find it, check out some grainy film of their moms and their grandmothers on the court. Or, as Only a Game's Karen Given recently discovered, you could attend the Rock the Ages 3-on-3 intergenerational basketball tournament, where you can see all those competitors in the same gym at the same time.
It's another 2 weeks before girls' basketball tryouts at Winchester High School. But on this Saturday morning, all 8 half courts in the gym are full. To the right, a team of high schoolers in red t-shirts, hand-decorated with fabric paint and glitter, play another high school team in mismatched gray. To the left, the Nova Super 60s from Virginia show off their flashy, professionally embroidered blue and reds against the equally spiffy-looking Connecticut Sirens in black and white. In all, 12 seniors' teams have come from 5 different states to compete in the Rock the Ages intergenerational 3-on-3 tournament. Over the next few hours, they'll raise money for the girls' basketball program at Winchester High and show the younger generation how it's done.
That was and is my vision.
Tina Quick came up with this idea last year when, as the mother of a varsity captain, she was in charge of helping the team raise money.
Quite frankly, I got tired of the fundraisers being something that all the parents just showed up at and spent money on all night long.
Tina plays for the Massachusetts Miracles, a traveling team for women 50 and older. Since graduating high school in the days before Title IX, Tina's been creating her own opportunities to play basketball. She sees this tournament not only as a way for the high school team to raise some cash, but also as a way for the girls to learn a little about the history of women's basketball.
These are the pioneers of the sport, and the young kids, it's just always been here for them, and they never had to think what these women went through for the privilege of playing on the hard court.
Box, box!
On court 5, the Golden Cagers are decked out head to toe in orange Syracuse basketball gear, a nod to their hometown, Syracuse, New York. Sue Heiss says now in her 50s, she's finally living her college dream. But the game is changing as Title IXers age up into the senior ranks.
You can almost see the break when you watch the over 50 team play. They have a different mentality on the court and a different ability because they had all that coaching. And you can tell Brenda's coaching on the floor too because she played in college.
Brenda Engbretson played college ball in Canada. Sue calls her the elder statesperson of the Golden Cagers. And Brenda responds to that distinction by flipping her teammates the bird. Brenda is an exercise physiologist, and when she gives lectures to medical students on the importance of exercise, she always starts by showing a slide of her basketball team. She says basketball isn't for everyone, but everyone should find a lifelong sport.
You know, I feel just as motivated and competitive, and I can reveal my age, I'm 60, now as at least I recall that I was in college, maybe even more so.
The Connecticut High Fives aren't very impressed with a team whose oldest member is 60. Not a single member of the High Fives is younger than 67. And Mary Berlin, the oldest player at this tournament, turns 71 next month. The High Fives often face younger opponents, but Mary says playing alongside junior high and high schoolers is an experience unique to this tournament.
That's why they call it Rock the Ages, which I don't like because it sounds too much like Rock of Ages, which is, in my book, a funeral song. I don't want it to get that close.
Mary might not like the name of this tournament, but she loves watching younger players on the court.
They've been coached all their lives, and they've got moves and good stuff. We shoot a lot of hook shots because that was the shot of the 50s. That's one of the things I like best about it. We're learning new things and getting your body to do things that it didn't do before, not just the old stuff.
And at court number 9, I need the Pink Dinosaurs and the Purple Monkeys.
even the team names reflect the generations. While the sixth graders are prone to whimsy, the senior teams use names like Moxie and Quicksilver. Marissa McDonald and her team won the high school age bracket, and she stayed behind to watch the senior women play.
I think it's awesome, honestly. Power to you. They're all like them, like knee braces and everything, but they're still out there playing, and they're just loving life. It's good times.
At the first Rock the Ages tournament, there wasn't a whole lot of interaction between the younger and older players. So as the senior women rest between games, freshman Catherine Pitts and Lizzie Savage wander the gym, offering each of them a red carnation. For the flower, the girls get a little conversation. They chit-chat about the upcoming high school tryouts. They hear stories about traveling to senior tournaments and the National Seniors Games. But for Catherine and Lizzie, they learn the most from watching the older women play.
Yeah, they're good.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, when they're setting screens, they really hit people.
They're really physical.
The senior women don't reach gingerly for the ball. They dive after it. Their fouls are deliberate and hard. When an opponent tries to snatch the ball away, they hang on for dear life. Nancy Richardson and Joe Lannon of the Maine Flashes say anyone who expects the senior women to play a polite, dainty game are in for a shock.
The referees kind of come expecting that, too. They get surprised.
Certainly when we played in high school, it wasn't as physical. And so when we started playing as 50-year-olds, I think that was the part of the game we kind of had to learn. Because the first time somebody hits you, it's sort of like, hey, this is a non-contact sport. What are you doing? Then you kind of get used to it.
Shoot!
Yay! Ready to go! Woo!
After winning their first game in double overtime and their second game against younger and taller opponents, the Connecticut High Fives are behind by two as the final minutes wind down on their third and final game. They've been playing together for 10 years, practicing every week, traveling for tournaments, and Phyllis Serafin says only her teammates know how tough it is.
I don't think anyone understands what it takes at 65 and 70 years old to play the game of basketball. So tomorrow we'll probably all get up with a few aches and pains, but we don't stop. We just keep going. That's what you have to do in the aging process is keep moving.
The buzzer sounds on another narrow High Fives victory, and Phyllis and her teammates gather for smiles and hugs in the middle of the court. Tomorrow, there will be aches and pains, but the High Fives will know that they left this tournament undefeated.
Does that make it a little bit easier to get up tomorrow morning?
Absolutely, much easier. That was fun.
For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
Karen Given's story about multi-generational girls and women's basketball will be featured on this week's program. Elsewhere on the women's basketball continuum, I'll be speaking to Michelle Smith about some of the top college teams in the nation. Connecticut may come in for a mention. Only a Game's Doug Tribou will have a story about the hockey goalie's best friend. And no, it's not the post or the crossbar or even a puck-retrieving pooch. It's the mask that prevents the goalie from experiencing broken face. And I'll be speaking with Robert Edelman, the author of a new book titled Spartak Moscow, A History of the People's Team in the Workers' State, Soccer and Politics, two of my favorite topics, yours too, I hope. So join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.